bless you this morning. It's good to be in the house of God. We love Him for all that He does for us. A couple more things here real quick before I let you be seated. This is from Esther Obadari. Please pray for the whole 3, 4, and 5 while we have PARCC testing this whole April. God bless our little sister. Amen. I want to thank God for adding another year to my life. Yesterday, I am now 11. That's Paul Obadari. Amen. 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 We love the children. We'd like to say welcome to Milka, and I don't know how to say the last name, a family from Brother Samuel Dale's church. Where are you? God bless you. Amen. You're welcome to be here. Amen. Amen. Why don't you just be seated just for a moment, then I'll let you stand back up with me when we read the scripture. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to sing anymore, so thank you all very much. Lord willing, Brother Sean Martin is having a meeting. The name of the church is Faith Tabernacle, and the meeting is the 27th through May the 1st. So if you want to see that, I'll give it to the deacons. It'll be back in the back, and that's down in the Blacksburg, Christiansburg area. That's where Brother Sandy Beach, who is one of the missionaries that he comes by here sometimes. That's his pastor, Brother Sean Martin, and they'll have some meetings there. Amen. And so this morning, the service is going to be a little bit different. We're running tight on a little bit of time. And because of its constraints, we'll change it a little bit. There's a lot going on around us and situations in the church, and the church is growing. And many people don't know procedure. They don't know how the church is supposed to be going. So today I'm going to try to take it as a little bit of a Sunday school class and teach you. Amen. I don't think I've done this in a while, but I'm going to try it, okay? Amen. And if it seems laborious, you forgive me. But sometimes you got to do these things. And people, they want to do things right. So I'm going to ask you this morning to hold your amens. I've not done that ever, I don't think. But I heard Brother Branham do that, and I thought, you know, that's a good idea. So hold your amens this morning. Because sometimes if I say a certain point, somebody will go, amen. And then another brother will go, amen. And the sister will say, that's right, brother. Hold them. Keep the children. Hold them. All right? Because in these situations, I need people to understand that God is in control. Amen. He sent me here in 1992, and the church has grown from three families, including mine, to what it is now. And the original families are no longer here. One family left, and one family has moved to another church many years ago. But we know that God is in control. And so this morning, it's going to be a type of a teaching. So you just pray for me that all that we say or do is not to hurt anyone. But the prophet of God said, when you deal with these things, it needs to be like business. Okay? And even though if you have a really good friend in the church, you have to treat them like everybody else in the church. All right? We have to do that. And so this morning it'll be a little bit, maybe touch everybody, including me. But you know what? We have to do these things so people can understand why the church is moving like it is and the direction it's going in. And one of the reasons that I'm doing it this way is because we're going to need some more deacons and some more teachers. So I feel like for you to think you can qualify, you need to understand what the qualifications are, okay? So we want you to be understanding of what we're trying to do. And if I don't get every point, I'm sure I'll be told. I get told all the time things that I miss. You didn't say that. My wife reminded me the other night I started talking about the dogwood tree. She said, you didn't tell them why you was talking about the dogwood tree. I said, I mean, that's why I was talking about the dogwood tree. She was right. They said that Jesus was crucified on a dogwood tree. Myth has it, that because it was a dogwood tree, that's why it's a small tree. It was cursed. The Bible doesn't tell us that Jesus was hung on any certain tree. And Brother Branham said, if they will search it, they'll find out it was not a dogwood tree. Now, does everybody know what the dogwood tree's about? We together? Okay. So when you miss the main point sometimes, people are like, clueless. And I'm standing here and I'm thinking about it, and you know how I missed that part? I don't know. But your mind starts running faster than things you can say sometimes, if anybody's ever had that problem. People who talk too much do that. And so I'll let that one just sink in. So you hear these things. So let's just start with 1 Timothy chapter 3, and let's stand. I'll try not to be too long, and if I don't finish it, I'll go back. And I'm sorry to the visitors that you're going to hear this part this morning. We get visitors all the time, so I can't pick and choose when I can do these things. So you just have to hear what we're going to say, okay? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, but let's just pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we get to come to the house of God and to worship you. Lord, there's many people who are coming in amongst us, don't know the message of the hour. They don't know the Word of God as we see it. And many times they misunderstand what serving Jesus Christ really is. It's not just a religion. It's a revelation. Lord, and the revelation needs to fit to the Word of God that we see and believe and know that it's the truth. Lord, many people come with their own ideas, their own independent ways of believing it. But Lord Jesus, according to what I've seen, what I've heard, and what I've understood, Lord, you sent us a prophet in this age to help clear the air on many things. Lord, that's why you sent me here to minister the word of life. Maybe people misunderstand me, who I am, what I'm doing. But Lord, today may they come and realize that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life and leader of my soul. Lord, may you come and take the Spirit of God, use it, and teach us according to thy word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. That'd be me. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. I've never had any but the one I'm married to for the past 37 years. Okay? And I can verify that if you want to. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. I'm going to try out my teaching this morning. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, no brawler. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. If a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. The Lord bless you. You can be seated. Let me just preach on Brother Mike first, or teach on Brother Mike first. When the Lord spoke to me, I did not want to be a pastor. I flat out said, Lord, I don't want to be one. I don't want to do this. I didn't make myself a pastor. And when I first came to this area to just preach to some brothers and sisters who was longing for fellowship, and it was from March of 92 until December. And during that time, I was just preaching to the people. And finally, it was Brother Jose Esperanza, Sister Dora's husband, Brother Carlos, and Sister Jessica's father. And he asked in December, he said, are you the pastor of the church? And I said, no, brother, I'm not the pastor. I'm just here helping this group of people at the time. And so they talked amongst themselves, and they said, and the Lord had already spoke to me that I was going to be pastor, okay? But I never told them that. I waited on the Lord to direct them to realize they need a pastor. Because now we got this group. There's something else. There was no churches in the Washington, D.C. area in 1992, the nation's capital. There were none in this immediate area. We had Brother Earl Heiss in Baltimore. I'm not even sure that Brother Tim Williams has started in Baltimore over where he's at. Brother Datto was not there yet. My brother south of here, 2 hours. Brother Ron Spencer, 2 hours the other direction. These were the other churches that were around. But nothing right here in Washington, D.C. The Lord sent me here. So they decided, said, well, would you be the pastor? I said, if the congregation so votes for me to do that, I will be the pastor. And from 1992, they have voted me to be the pastor of this assembly. And I would have to say to you that when it comes to the place, you need to look and see. You know, I've got the only wife that you've ever seen here. Amen. I'll tell you when to say amen, all right? How about that? Now, I'm not a dictator, but sometimes I need your confirmation. But I don't always need your confirmation. I'm not here to suit you, all right? But she's always been my wife. I've had 4 children that raised up in this church, and now all of them are married. And through the years, I've told the people, I've made it known that if you see my sons, because my daughter, I never had much problem with her, but I said, if you see my sons misbehaving in church, correct them. All right? Because they don't have the Holy Ghost because I'm the pastor. My children's got to accept Jesus Christ just like everybody else does. And so when my children were giving me problems, I made it clear to the church, they're not Christians. They need to be corrected. And if they can't behave themselves, and you'll find here where the prophet of God said, if you bring your children to church and they can't behave, leave them with somebody until they learn how to behave. Church is not a playground. It's a place of teaching. It's a place of spiritual movement of God. And you need to understand that God wants to touch the soul of every person that's in the house of God. I really appreciate the young people from their testimonies of the youth camp. Now we need them to continue on. Amen. Lord willing, in about 4 months, for the past 2 years, at the last of July, early part of August, we have our youth meeting. Now, Brother Tim Pruitt, as I understood, has had theirs going on for 30 years. When you first start out, it's not going to be the same thing. Remember now, they've had 30 years of molding and cutting and polishing and working, and look what it's grown to. So we'll work with our young people and try to get more for them. And I appreciate what the brothers are trying to do to help our youth in all these things. So don't forget that. But then these children, when they're ministers or when they're deacons, their children, their wife, their family has to be under submission. I had one of my sons who was not correctly working with me, and I had to lay the law down to him that his CDs and his bad-looking shirts, and even he couldn't park his car in my driveway. I said, you park outside on the street. Right? Some of you know, and I'm not just trying to say anything, but I'll let everybody else guess who the son is, but it doesn't matter. But he had to follow my rules. He said, Dad, you can't make me be a Christian. I said, I'm not going to make you be a Christian, but you're going to follow my rules in the house and in the church. Understand, your children were not born with the Holy Ghost in their life. You are their Holy Ghost up to a certain age of accountability. You teach them, you guide them, but when they get to an age of accountability, then they have to respond for themselves to Jesus Christ. Brothers, I wish that every one of them, when they hit the age 11 or 12, 10, 11, or 12, I would pray that God would just so saturate them with the Holy Ghost, but it doesn't quite happen that way. They get into school and they get influence from the people and things start happening in their lives and they become a little bit rebellious and they become a little bit hard to deal with. And you think, where did this little nice son or daughter of mine get to? They got under the influence of the world. Now, This is where the parents' role in the house, you must let them understand. You say, but it's not rules and regulations. There are times when there needs to be rules and regulations. Amen. My sons would like to say, it's my room. Okay, well, how much rent are you paying? I said, I have a right to walk into any room in this house because I pay the mortgage. I said, and what I say goes. You want to say that your way? Move out, get your own place. Thank God they've all moved out. There's no boomerangs. So far, they're able to manage. What causes that? Because I taught them they got to pay their tithes, given their offering. They got to behave themselves according to the Word of God and let God bless you. Listen, teach your children these things when they're little. If you give them $10, tell them a dollar of that belongs to the Lord in tithing. And you maybe give 50 cents for an offering, but teach them how they should do these things. And a pastor, if he can't teach his children at home, if he can't rule his own home, he's got no business standing in the pulpit. Amen. Now, I have a grace and I have mercy because a lot of you brothers, you're young. You've got young children. You're going to find out that some of them might cross you up a little bit. Some of your children from the baby, from the time they're 6 months old, you can tell that the nature of the child is different from one of the others. Some of them you can just speak to, they obey. Some of them you speak to and it's like they never heard a thing you said. God gives them to you for testing sometimes. The Bible says, train up a child in the way it should go. And when it grows old, it will not depart. You keep planting the word. Planting the word. Be the example. Listen, you need to lead by example.
Amen.
All right? Every brother, every sister, mother, father, you need to lead by example. If you don't want your child doing a certain thing, check and see if you're doing a certain thing. If you're always yelling and screaming, and then they're yelling and screaming, you might want to go, well, wait a minute. They're imitating who I am. You get mad and slap something, next thing you know, they get mad and slap something, you go, where'd that come from? Think about yourself. So a minister, leader of the church, got to have his house in order. We'll keep watching. Let me tell you something. The Bible says you need to have a good report within and without. Okay? I would give you the fair opportunity. I came from Richmond. You can't ask my father now. He's passed away. But you could go back to Richmond, Virginia, where I came from. And those people that know me, go ahead. I'm not afraid for you to ask him who I really am. I've got nothing to hide. If I have something to hide, then I don't need to be here. My life as a minister has to be an open book. Your life as a minister has to be an open book. Your life that you live every day has to be an open book. You shouldn't be going around having secrets. In marriage, there should not be secrets between the husband and the wife. Listen, my wife can take my cell phone and she can check anything that's on the cell phone. Why? Because there's no hidden secret between me and her. She can go to every one of my emails if she wants to, and she can look at every one of them. I can do the same to her phone. What is that? We love and respect each other enough, we're not ashamed. That's how true marriage should be. So if a pastor, a minister, is going to stand before you, he should take on the responsibility that there's nothing to hide from you. Okay? I have my own faults and failures. And sometimes I feel like quitting. Young people, listen at me. I'll take the theme a minute. Sometimes I feel like quitting. Set down. Just stop. Why? Do you know how many notes I get through the offering sometimes? Do you know how many texts I get sometimes? How many phone calls I get sometimes? And I think sometimes I'm only a referee. But something inside says, don't quit. Press the battle. Paul said, and I can see why now, Paul said, I die daily. Because if you don't die daily, you will die. You got to submit to the Word of God in such a way that when the trials come and the testing comes, it molds you. It makes you. And it sets you in a place where you got to be a little bit of a thick skin, because your feelings are going to get hurt. And when your little children tells you, I hate you. Has anybody had your children to ever tell you that? Anybody? Because you got on to them, you corrected them? Sure. Not every kid's going to do that. Not every child's going to do that. But it won't make you feel good. And people sometimes, when you get into the world, they won't like your religious stance. You've got to have a little bit of a thick skin and say, but you don't understand me. Sometimes people are wanting to run ahead of the pastor, not knowing what I'm doing. You don't always understand my thoughts. Before you tell the deacons what to do, you should check with me first sometimes before you start telling the deacons what their job is. Women and men are trying to tell the deacons their jobs. Okay, the deacons may not be up to your standards. We chose them, right? So now we got to work with them and groom them a little bit better, but you don't run past me trying to make them do their jobs. And I appreciate the brothers have been trying to help me out. The minister brothers have been trying to help me out. And this past year was quite a different year for me. I lost both my parents and was going through a very trying time. And this past week was one of the hardest weeks I've had, because now I can't talk to them anymore. I can't go see them anymore. And that grieving process is now hitting me harder now than it was when they died. Now I've got precious brother Zach over here in the nursing home who helped to start this church. He's just responding to, they've taken all the meds away from him, as far as I know, and they've given him morphine and medicine for agitation. And so the hospice nurses have said it's only by the grace of God that he's alive right now. So you see, these people, even though you may not have had a lot of relationship with them, Brother Zach, when I would travel down to Richmond, or I'd travel down to Brother Ron Spencer's place, or I'd travel up to Baltimore, Brother Zach was always ready to go with me if I'd let him go. And a lot of times it was just me and him riding along, and he would talk and talk and talk, and sometimes he'd almost talk me to sleep. He's supposed to be keeping me awake. One time, just a little funny part here, one time we were coming back from Elkton, Virginia, or Harrisonburg area, and we were coming along, and Brother Zach was talking, and I got going, and I wasn't paying a bit attention to the speed. I was just driving up, you know, and the blue lights come on behind me, and I was weaving a little bit. I was getting tired. Policeman walks up to the window, and I thought, man, this guy, Brother Zach's going to get me in trouble for bribing a police officer. He starts offering him a tape, a book. He got me out of a ticket. The man said, well, he said, where are you guys going? I said, we're headed home. He says, where you been? I said, the church. He said, well, maybe you should pull over and get a cup of coffee. He says, you're all over the road. Brother Zach's talking the whole time, and I'm about to fall asleep. He can't see anything because he's almost blind, and it's dark. He's just riding along, and so we go over, and the policeman gives me advice, get a cup of coffee. I said, okay. And so we went on. But Brother Zach's been with me a lot. He's helped me through a lot of different situations. So you pray for Brother Zach. He may not be with us very long. But you see, these people, so the brothers have kind of taken a little part of the load away from me. And they're doing their best. And they've said to me, Brother Mike, we just want to help you. And I tell you what, they've really helped me. But I don't want you to think they're overstepping their bounds and running over the top of you guys. Because I've said, yes, I appreciate the help right now, okay? So I'm going to try to, we'll try to rein it all in together so everybody's on the same page. And you can even say, did Brother Mike want you to do this? You can ask him. It's okay, all right? So if I tell the brothers this is what I want you to do, then fear not. I was the cause of it. But the brothers have really helped me. Now, if in that token I give you permission, go ask anybody about me. I believe I have the same right for you. Amen. If you're a deacon, if you're a minister or whatever you are, I have the same right to say, where did you come from? What's your background? How's your family life? We watch your family. We see the situation. So in verse 8 it says, likewise, must the deacons be grave? I feel like I lost something. Did my battery die? Huh? It might be gone. No, it says it's got 3 bars up there. All right. Now it sounds like it came back. Technology. You hate it, but you can't live without it. So, likewise, verse 8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. All right. If we're going to have some deacons, are you blameless? He said, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. I want to make sure that you understand, if we speak to you about being a deacon, your wife needs to be someone that's in submission, not beaten into it either. A wife that loves her husband so much that she's willing to stand with him through thick and thin. Every marriage is going to have a problem here or there. Okay? But you got to work through them. It should not become a war. It should become a time of learning about each other. You can't do any of these jobs until you've been proven first. Amen. All right? And disruptions come in the family sometimes to prove what kind of a character you are and to prove what kind of a character your wife is. So you want to do these things. And so we look at the situation of how that these deacons, and listen, to qualify to be a deacon, they got to have, I believe, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because it said, not a novice, and surely you wouldn't want a preacher up here who don't have the Holy Ghost. So likewise, the deacons must have the Spirit of God in them, because in the way that they behave themselves is going to reflect through their families. If their family's not in line, then we got to change that situation. If your family's not in line and your name is mentioned, listen, I've already been given some different names, and they've already been some things said about the different names. So when I talk about a brother or sister, the qualification is pretty scrutinized. Your children, your wife, your attitude, your behavior, all these things have to be looked at. So it's not just, do that, that brother's good. Amen. Anybody sleeping yet? Let me just read this from the prophet. In the old church order book, or conduct order doctrine is in the church order part, page 884, it says, the deacons, your duty is to keep order in the church with kindness and friendliness. Now, if you're thinking, I could be chosen to be a deacon, I want you to listen to this. I want you to fit this mold. He said, and then you are supposed to, if someone gets out of order in the church or comes in here like a drunk or somebody come in. And then he goes on to talk about a man that came in who was carrying a double-barrel shotgun. Listen, brothers, even if you're not a deacon and somebody walks in with a gun, we're going to take it. Amen. All right? We're going to take it right away, because in this age that we're living, it's happening in churches. And listen, if they come in with something hid, brothers, sometimes it's good to be suspicious of visitors. We don't know who they are. Look them over. And if they say, what are you looking at? Say, well, you must be new here. We don't know who you are. Be nice, but let them know, hey, we're watching you. I don't want to get shot out of the pulpit. So he said, if he'd had deacons around, when that guy came in with the gun, they would have took it away from him. But he shot the pastor, then he shot his wife, then shot himself. You want to be macho? That's the time to be macho. Time to man up. Help us out. He said, now if there had been a bunch of deacons there when that man entered the door with the shotgun, they'd have had their arms around him and the shotgun out of his hand. See, that's orderly deacons. Now, if you're pulling the deacons away when people are coming in, you've got them out of their place. You've got them out of their job. They are to watch the door. They're to watch the sanctuary and seat people when they come in. They're supposed to act like ushers and help get the people seated. Don't take my deacons and start giving them orders when they're supposed to be taking care of the church. You want to talk to the deacon? Wait till after the church. Not before the service. You talk to the deacons. Anybody hearing me out there? Amen. Y'all can say amen this time. Amen. You leave my deacons alone. They cannot do their jobs. And listen, if you're going to be a deacon, listen to me good. You cannot do your job if somebody's pulling you off having their own private conversation. And during the service, it's not time to come catch the deacon while I'm up here. And see, they're going to miss what I'm saying right now. This is not the time for you to pull one of my ministers or anybody and give them correction or hear their complaints. Don't do it while we're preaching and teaching. You miss what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. You hear me? Amen. You say, Brother Mike, you're getting pretty rough. Well, sometimes plain speech is better understood. Would you like to have been one of my kids? Well, they seem to love me still. At the end, if you don't love me, you can vote me out. But until such time, I'm still standing. And this is the rules and regulations that we're going by. So if my deacons are on the job, you don't pull them away from their job and tell them things they should be doing when they're supposed to be at the post of duty. If a stranger comes in and we don't know who they are because you've got them off talking with them somewhere. And my deacons have got no business having these private conversations when they should be standing at a post of duty. That's their duty, is to be in place, in the hallway. They are the policemen of the church. How many has that met policemen? When you meet the policeman, yes, sir. You know why he pulled you over? Well, maybe. And sometimes the policeman, you say, but sir, I didn't know. He goes, you should not be driving if you didn't know. And he writes you a ticket anyway. You plead mercy. He goes, the rules are the rules, right? Now, sometimes they'll give you a little grace. But brothers and sisters, these men are the policemen of the church. They've got to take control of what's happening. He said, but remember, the deacons are God's policemen in the house of God. No matter what anybody else thinks. Hello? No matter what anybody else thinks, sometimes a policeman won't not to have to go up and make an arrest on somebody, maybe one of his friends, but he's sworn to an office. He's got to do it anyhow. So leave my deacons in place. If there's a very bad need or something or urgent need, they'll take care of it. But otherwise, no conversations. You need to talk to the deacons about something. Wait till after the service. Call them on the phone or something, but not when they're in position during the time of activity of the church. That's his duty of the city. Okay. Deacons are the policemen, and their word is the law and order. See? And they have the authority from the church and even from the laws of the nation to make the house of God be the right place. Do we choose them? Do we put them in place? Then when they get on your toes, guess what? You chose them. You say, well, I didn't lift my hand. Well, if the majority chose them, you're all included. Okay? So we're going to lay it pretty straightforward today. I'm already into 40 minutes, and I'm like, the time is running away from me. So I think we're understanding that God's policemen are to take care of the church and to assist. Now, I'm going to read a couple of things that Brother Branham said about these things in when they made their bylaws so that you understand this is the correct way to do it. The office of deacons, as elected according to the word of God and the manner of the tabernacle, is to act as an office of spiritual assistance to the pastor. Pastors, it says. They are to assist the pastors on all his spiritual activities. They are given free speech in presenting to the pastor any program or benefit that would bless the general and spiritual welfare of the church. They must be apt to teach and ready to assist the pastor or associate pastor on every duty if called to do so. They shall assist in serving communion. How many knows that when we do the communion, the deacons are usually here? All right, if you haven't been here before, that's who's helping us take care of the communion. They shall be acting ushers, all services. They shall police the church in keeping civil order and conduct. They shall assist in taking local offerings. They shall oversee the spiritual conduct of the church in working with the pastor and one another on spiritual problems and matters of the saints. Everybody okay?
Amen.
Stand up just for a minute. I'm not going to let you go free this morning. I'm going to set this thing because it's been a while since I did it this way. I'm going to set it. It's the foundation. All right? So if the foundation's firm, then you can't come back and say, well, we didn't know. Right? So today, being the pastor, I felt led to do it this way. I had another whole message that I studied for, but then I thought, you know what? I need to do a couple things here. We've been hearing from Brother Marion. We've been hearing from Brother Tim. And you've probably been hearing from Brother Neville, maybe. But you probably wonder, where's Brother Mike? Here's Brother Mike. Okay? These brothers have been preaching under what I believe. All right? They don't get up here and just preach their own theology. Amen. Their own ideas. If it were that way, I would stop them from doing those things. Amen. You may not appreciate what's being preached. You may not like what's being preached. But this is where we're standing at. And let me say this. You can be seated now. Let me say this. There's a lot of things happening in the world today. And I would love to take this time and preach a bit. But I won't. But there's a lot of things happening in the world today. Let me tell you something. People are coming against the message. They're coming against the prophet. They're coming against me. All right? Many things are happening in the world today. Let me say to you, if you don't like the message and you don't like the prophet and you don't like it because I 100% agree with the message of the hour, we have no strings to you. Your name is not on a book. You are free to go out that door and fellowship anywhere you want to fellowship. Don't go out and say, they made us do this and they made us do that. You are here of your own free will, and if it's not your own free will, then what's the problem? Every person, your own free will is what brought you here. You have the will of God in your life. Anybody, and I felt to say this last week, I believe it was, because I see all the contentions that are being raised up, not here though. Not here against the message, but at other places. I'm just warning you that if it comes here, we're not making anybody believe this message. Amen. We're not trying to keep you in the dark side. We're not trying to keep you away from believing what God has sent in this day. If you think we are, why don't you come and ask us what we believe about certain things? Now, let me tell you something. I can't answer all the questions that people are asking, but here's my avenue of it. I know what the supernatural did to bring me to believe the message of the hour. That's what I can tell you about. That's what I can testify about. And if you don't like that, then brothers and sisters, by all means, you're welcome to go ahead and fellowship somewhere else. I'm not going to be against you. But don't come in here trying to say, y'all won't tell us the truth about the prophet. What do you want to know about him? I'll be open. I told you it'd be a different service. Can you turn this light off? This thing is right in my face. It's from the projector. Everybody still okay?
Amen.
That's about 60% is okay. So the rest of you is thinking about it. They shall be ready at any time to assist the need of every saint who is burdened and in need of spiritual consultation or general welfare. They have not the right to set to act upon any program or promotion without agreement with one another, the pastors and the trustees at the programs they are considering involving church funds. They will be responsible for before God for their conduct and manner of service according to the word of God. They shall not have meetings among themselves without the pastor or associate pastor present.
Amen.
Got that?
Amen.
So if you want to be a deacon, you're not supposed to be having your own meetings by yourself. Pastor ought to be included. Got it?
Amen.
If you're trustees, you can't be having meetings all along by yourself unless the pastor's included. Now, what if the you say, Brother Mike, we need to have a meeting. Was it all right if we go ahead? And I say it's okay. Guess what? It's okay.
Yes,
if the trustees need to have a meeting and I say it's okay, guess what? It's okay.
Amen.
You know why? Because I trust them.
Amen.
If I didn't trust them, I wouldn't let them be my deacons. Okay? If I thought they were trying to take the church away from me, you think it'd be deacons? No. Listen, this job is not just preaching. This job is bringing the fullness of the Word of God from the very foundation all the way to the glory age.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to just do 1 hour, and if I don't finish, and it's only been 45 minutes, if I don't finish, guess what? Next Sunday, Brother Mike Walls will be preaching again. You say, why next Sunday? Because that's when everybody's here mostly. Then I'm going to go ahead and speak to the issues. You know, we got so many different things going on. So are we understanding about where the line is to be drawn, your behavior? So in all these behaviors, you've got to have your life in line with the Word of God. All right. Am I doing okay teaching?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to talk about the Sunday school because we're going to need some more teachers. All right. And we need teachers that can qualify to be in that position.
Amen.
And if we can qualify you to be in that position, I've had names given to me, and sometimes those names don't qualify, so I don't say anything. So we want to be able to qualify who's going to be the teachers. Somebody asked Brother Branham the question. He said, now, what about the Sunday school? He said, about the Sunday school, should it be before the preaching? He said, yes. And so we have the Sunday school before the preaching. And then he said, you know, that the Sunday school superintendent should come before, just before the preaching service, and give the what? The report. I lost my word. They come and give the report, and Brother Joseph's been doing that, been fulfilling that position. And then, so let's just go here just for a minute. He says, yes, we've always had it that way, have the Sunday school before the preaching service, and that gives a chance for the little fellows who attend Sunday school to dismiss their classes, and if they want, and the little fellows, they don't understand it, and they have to set all the way through the preaching service and then have Sunday school, the little fellows are wore out. Let the Sunday school be first. Have a set time. Just at one set time that Sunday school goes to session. Sunday school superintendent is supposed to see to that Sunday school goes to session at a certain time, a set time, and it dismissed at a certain time. I've got reports that you brothers and sisters sometimes don't start on time. And if we're going to have teachers setting in, if you've got 3 people in this class, start at 9:30. Is that right? 9:30 to 10:15? We have a lot of tardiness in the Sunday schools. But if we're going to have teachers, teachers start 9:30. Because then if you start late, then guess what? You run late. Then if Brother Joseph says, you got to cut it, you go, Brother Joseph is pushing me. No, Brother Joseph's been ordained by me and the church to follow the rules. Sometimes there's rules and regulations. Start the service at 9:30. You say, but brother, they're not in the class. What are you going to do? Start the class. If you've got two or three people, start the class. If you have no people, come sit in one of the other classes that got people. When they show up, say, hey, there was nobody here, so we went into the other Sunday school class. Permission granted, brothers, do that. So if you're gonna do that, because then when you get near the end of the Sunday school class, you haven't got enough time to finish, then you think, well, let me just take 5 more minutes. No, the time is 10:15, you stop. Because here's what happens. People that don't come to Sunday school, and those who are in Sunday school, they need a break to go to the bathroom, wash their face, whatever they need to do. They've already been sitting for 45 minutes. Right? So therefore, you start on time, you let them stop. These children, listen, the Sunday school class is 45 minutes. How much is a regular class at school? 45? You're teaching high school? Huh? 90? Yours is different. Imagine that. You got 90 minutes. Wow. Somebody else said the other public schools are 45. How much? 75 minutes and 105 minutes. Yours is pretty good. Now, but these classes are all day long. Is that right? Even in those classes, they give them, 5 minutes between classes to change, to get from one room to another room? What are they supposed to do during that 5 minutes? If you need to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom, right? This is more than just a class. This is now the assembly. And if people need to go to the washroom, they need to go to the washroom before. If we're holding this class past 10:15, then you're blocking these people from getting to the restroom, because at 10:25, Brother Joe's coming to read the report, right? That's not the time to be going to the bathroom. So you got 10 minutes in between. Get to the restroom and get back. If you're afraid somebody's going to take your seat, don't go. We'll work with you. But these children, these classes are not that long. They come from home. If you get here on time, let them go to the bathroom. Say you need to go to the bathroom and not be going during class time. Now, if there's a sickness or an issue, we can deal with that. You say, man, this sounds like a principle or something. Well, hello, church. Y'all pushed me to a point where I need to set a few things straight. Okay? Hope you still love me at the end of this. You get these 8 to 12-year-olds, and they find out they can just run to the bathroom anytime they want. Guess what? It's almost like tag team. You go and then I'll go. Sometimes I see my little brothers, church has started, sometimes there's 3 or 4 of them in the men's room, hanging out. Your sons. Mine are all grown. You need to be aware of where your children are, okay? When church starts, you need to see where they at. If you don't see your child in this church, or you're with them in the room, you go find out where your child is. It's not the deacon's job. You say, what? I thought he was a policeman in the church. He is, but he's not your child's parent. Right? You need to know where your children are. And if your child's misbehaving, don't wait for somebody else to correct them, especially if you know it. You correct them. It's your child. And if they get corrected, don't get mad at those who correct them, because if they needed it, they needed it. All right? We say, okay. Listen, friends, I've been through this. I raised up in a church. I was a deacon in the church. I was a youth leader in the church. Now I'm the pastor of the church. And I've been through all these scenarios and all these situations. And you know what? Sometimes I had to go get the parents. You need to take your child. They don't like that. I didn't ask you if you liked it. It's your child. You take care of it. We're okay so far? And if they can't behave and they're obnoxious, take them somewhere, give them a talking. If they can't do it, you sit out with them. But when they come to Sunday school class, they shouldn't be running every few minutes out of the class, back into the class. They need to be made to understand we're going to church, not a picnic, not a free-for-all. When they go to school, do you allow them just to misbehave in the church, in the school? They write letters home, and you know, the next thing you know, if your child misses too much school, they'll send a letter home saying, we might need to take you to social services. You say, no way, it's true. Listen, friends, you are responsible for the actions of your children. So if you want the Sunday school to run properly, then it needs to start lead by example. You start it on time, finish it on time. If your thought is not complete, brothers, I know how hard it is. You've got to just somehow stop it, okay, and say, I'll pick it up next week. And if it, let's just use this for an example. If Brother Tim's teaching and it's his last Sunday to teach, and Brother Tim, you can't quite get your last point, Brother Marion, I'm sure you'll give him grace to do it the next Sunday, wouldn't you? I know these guys. Brother Neville didn't finish his message a few weeks ago. And what did I say? Brother Neville, I understood you didn't finish. What did I do? I gave him the next Wednesday night to finish his message. Listen, friends, we got to have a little grace. Brothers and sisters, don't feel like we're trying to put you under a hammer. That's not it. But when you understand what the rules are, it works so much better that way. My time's almost gone. He says, how long should the classes be? He said, give yourself 30 minutes. Or whatever you're going to allow your Sunday school for, 30 or 35, 40 minutes, whatever it is. And then he says, and there should be a bell, which we can't do a bell. And when you hear the tapping, Brother Joe comes around, I don't know what he's doing, I guess you're giving him a signal, 5 minutes till, and say it's time to stop. I think that was what we decided. And when it taps on the outside, or when the Sunday school superintendent says it's dismissing Sunday school, and when the bell rings, that means everything come to order right there. You with me so far?
Amen.
Somebody say amen real loud.
Amen.
Wake up those who are not listening. Now, just a little bit more. Musicians, get ready to come. I've understood that, you know, people get tired of preachers saying, give me 5 more minutes, and they take 15. Give me a couple more minutes, and they take 10. So I've been working on it for years. I try to say, give me just a little more time, because if I tell you 10 minutes, they're going to go. Right? So even in all these things that we're doing, we're trying to bring the flow the right way. So they don't want the preacher up there sounding like he's telling lies. He says, well, all he does is he keeps asking for grace and grace and grace. All the preachers hearing me.
Amen.
So if we're going to preach, let's not give them opportunity to cut us down because they say, well, you know, he said he's going to finish it now. I like what Brother Dick says. I'm about to close, but he don't say when. Real nice about that. Oh, by the way, he'll be here on the 24th of April.
Amen.
So we want to be careful in all that we do. When you say something, listen, if you tell your children something in home, they expect you to follow through, right? If you say something to the children of God, they expect you to follow through. Don't make excuses. Just say, okay, I can't get it done yet. And if I find out the brothers need more time, I'll say, brothers, next service. Okay? Does the church want to say amen on that?
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Musicians, come. I got about 2 minutes, and it'll be exactly 1 hour. I heard one brother say, you know, we believe in the message of the hour. I said, yes, I understand, brother. Brother Bram said, if you're preaching to believers, you could preach all night long. Hello, church. So if you got a quote, I got a quote. So it depends on which way you want to lean on your quote, okay? So, but I understand Brother David Mamelis, who came here a few times a few years back, around 1996, 97, 98, and he always had this quote. He said, the mind can only obtain what the seat can endure. Got me? And in teaching, you've got to realize, I know you're getting tired now. I've given you a lot of information, and I'm not finished. So guess what? Next Sunday, I'll probably finish. But be a man of my word. I'm going to stop it right here. You still love me?
Amen.
Amen. Church is not to please everybody. It's to get us to heaven. And I want us to get us to heaven. But if we're having, listen, we're having little infightings. Okay? If somebody don't like it this way and somebody don't like it this way and we got this problem. If we keep doing that, the people's going to be restless. Many times people come along. Sister Cindy, just start playing something real softly. I want everything really soft. Many times people come along and they think if they can get an avenue to the pastor, they'll pick a certain person. They'll tell that person to get the message to the pastor. They've even used my wife that way. Be careful, brethren, the message you carry. Be careful, my sisters, the message you carry. Many times I get questions and I don't respond to them because somebody's trying to bring their agenda through me. Okay? So I'm prayerfully looking, considering every question I get these days, because I realize if I'm not careful with it, the devil will enter in. Remember the prophet of God said, you come to church and it's sitting real nice. He said, but there's somebody sitting there that's got a poison dart and you'll poison somebody with it and it'll start going through the church. I'm here to take the poison out. Okay? Trying to work through the situations because you, if you were the pastor, I probably wouldn't like it. And some of you may not like the way I handle it. Brother Branham said, I'm sure I don't handle things, he said, the way you like it. And if you were up here, I wouldn't like it the way you handle it. Okay? So you can't please everybody. I can't even please my wife every day. But I don't go around saying, if you do that again, I'm going to divorce you. That never comes out of my lips. That's not true love. True love conquers a multitude of sin.
Amen.
And true love will correct itself in the church. Have love one for another. Let's just stand. Will you play, Sister Cindy? Let's just start from the top. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. He is here.
can touch him, you will be.
Let's just pray as they play softly. Lord Jesus, it's in a time like this. Lord, correction, sometimes it goes deep into the marrow, the bone. Sometimes it maybe hurts feelings. And that's not the intention to hurt anybody. But Lord, it's to bring back into order things that are in disorder, things that are in disarray. Lord, teach me. Show me the way. I'm not above teaching. I'm not above learning. I need to be led, Lord, by you every day. And each one of us need that time with you. Lord, each one of us needs that opportunity to live in Christ alone. Lord, because without you coming and entering into our lives, there's nothing more we can say or do. Lord, we'll bring problems all around us, but if the Holy Spirit of God's in us, somehow it can correct the error and teach us to walk with love and unity and the spirit of the truth. Lord, I know I didn't say everything that I needed to. And maybe I didn't say it the way I would have liked to. And maybe they didn't hear it the way they wanted to hear it. But Lord, know my intent today is to be in the perfect will of God. Lord, to love you with all of our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Let me just say this, and I say this with all humility. This is not the Branham Tabernacle, okay? This is the church that God called me to. We take this message and the things that our prophet has given us, and we follow them really close. But we still can't be like him. We still can't run it the way he run it. But he gave us a lot of good leadership advice and how to keep things in order. And with that, I say amen, and that's what we're trying to do. You say, well, brother, you know, we don't do everything. I know we can't do everything. This is not the tabernacle, but this is the house of God. There's going to be more teaching coming. Our young people need to see why God has power in the church. But if we don't teach them the power of living right to start with at home. It starts at home, friend. Amen. It starts with mom and dad. You don't just let your kids go off and sit somewhere and get on the internet. You lose their life when you don't know what they're doing, what they're looking at. It starts at home. Amen. Let God be God. Let him rule your home well. Amen. May the Lord bless you, keep you today. We'll sing this softly again. Then we have a Sunday school teachers meeting right after the service. So I won't be talking to a lot of people today. We have the meeting in Brother Ken's classroom, I believe is where we're going to do it. So as you can, you let those brothers and sisters who are the teachers show up at the meeting. Amen. We thank you for your kindness, for your attentiveness. You pray for me. Amen. It's not always easy to say some of the things, but you know what? It ain't about being easy. It's about being right with the Word of God. May the Lord bless you, keep you today. In Jesus' name, love one another. The same.